You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I want to minister to you a little bit this morning about the steps of faith. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
We have got lots of lights in here, don't we? All right. Well, you better look good when you get up here. Romans chapter 4 and verse 12. I appreciate Michael letting me come to minister and preach to you. Although I got to tell you, I'm a little bit jealous, you know, of him getting to go down to Australia and do all that good preaching. And but we're going to believe God. He's going to minister to each and every one of them. I would say this. I love Australians because there's only two or three countries in the world that are really behind us, and Australia is one of them. Did you know that? You can take an Aussie and he'll go with you. He'll be with you. He's going to side with you if you're an American. Throughout the world, that's kind of an uncommon thing. Britain kind of will. Australia almost always will. And so it's good that Michael's down there preaching the Word of God to them. They're a great group of people. But I want you to look in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. Do what? Okay, just keep Romans. I'm going to have two or three openings, okay? Mo, you keep me straight. Mo will keep me straight. But go ahead and look in Matthew 8 and 17. Then just hold the other one. Just put your finger on that other one. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Then we'll go to the other one. Now it says in verse 17 that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for being so good to us. We thank you for the Word. The Word's good. It's always good. We thank you, Lord, we can always predicate our lives upon it. Lord, we can scotch off of that Word. If we ever get off, we can come back to the Word. The Word will orient us, Lord God, in the right place, in the right direction. And it's always got the truth for us. So we're going to give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. It said, it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, when I went to Guatemala with Brother Michael in about 1980, I just wanted to tell you about this vision because I'm going to talk to you about confessing the Word a little bit. As we were down there, on the way down there, I was sick. And, just throwing up and everything. So they said, well, we're going to get on an airplane that doesn't have a restroom on it, which was about the last place I needed to be. And so I went to the doctor and I said, well, I've just gotten saved. I said, well, here's my first missionary trip, and now the devil's going to try to challenge that, not going to let me go. So Dr. Mallory was the doctor's name. He said, you better not go. You're too sick. You get down in the jungle, you know. You get down there where nobody can help you. Well, I went ahead. How many of you know that everything you try to do, the devil's going to try to immediately come in and stop that? I got saved. This is my first mission trip, and bless God, I'm going. Amen. So we all load into this little airplane, start off down towards Mexico, make two or three hops. Now, the whole time, this is exactly what I'm saying. The whole time, I'm looking at the window. You have a little window on these planes. I'm looking at the window, and I'm saying, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I said, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. 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 You know, the Bible says you can actually confess unto the revelation. Did you know that? Can you confess unto it? Can you confess unto it? So I kept on doing that day after day. Then we got down to the Patan jungle, got down in the middle of it, and then I had a vision. And I promise you, I'd just gotten born again, hadn't been saved long. And all I did was just to quote, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, in this scripture here, that Jesus bore my sicknesses. Now, on about the third day that I was in the Patan jungle, the Lord showed me a vision, and there was a bright light, even brighter than these, but I was standing in it. And the Lord said that if you'll continue to confess the Word of God, if you'll proclaim the Word, the glory of God came out of the Holy of Holies that was in me. Amen? Yes. How many of you know you got a Holy of Holies that's in you that's full of the Shekinah glory of God that will come out if you'll begin to praise God? It will come out and begin to manifest itself. I mean, because the people that are lost, they don't see what's in you, they see what's on you. So if you don't by your walk bring what's on the inside of you to the outside, lost people don't even know you're saved. Amen? You got to find a way, because Jesus has got to take a little trip from the inside to the outside. I mean, the difference is when you begin to walk it, when you begin to talk it, what's in you begins to come to the outside, then it gets on you. Then people begin to see it, because what's in you is then on you. Well, the Lord said this thing began to come out of me. The glory of God began to come out of my spirit. It got in every direction, it enlarged. It got bigger and bigger and bigger until I was standing in it, and I could see the edge of this cloud of glory, this glory ball that I was in. And I saw right up there, it looked like maybe 5 or 6 feet, 7 feet up there, I saw a little black squiggly thing. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is that? And He said, that's that sickness that was on you. And He said, when you confess the Word, when you kept saying by the stripes of Jesus you are healed, when you kept saying the truth, He said, the glory of God came out of you, and it came out of your spirit. It came up, it came through your mind with emotions. He said, it got to your body, and when it hit your body, it hit that sickness, and it pushed it out. It pushed it all the way out, and He said, that's it laying right up there. It looked like a black squiggly stick. It didn't really look like a snake, it looked like a black squiggly stick. And that came from nothing but calling those things that be not as though they were. It came from nothing except calling the Word of God what the Word of God says. Can I have an amen? Now I'm back over to where I told you the first time in Romans 4:12. And I know you've already got that one. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 12. And I want you to look in Romans 4 and 12. And the Father of circumcision. We there? That it? Okay. I'll make sure I'm right this time. And the Bible said in chapter 4 and verse 12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only. He's really talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. But who also, the Bible says, now listen to this right here. Who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised. So the Bible said, but he who also walks in the steps of that faith, meaning their steps to the faith of God. There's actual steps. The steps to the faith of Abraham. Do you know what the steps are? That are the steps of the faith of Abraham. And as I read it again, he says, but who also walk in the steps. What are the steps? That's what I'm asking you right now. To that walk in the steps of that faith. That faith, God's faith, Jesus' faith, the power of the Spirit of God's faith, the faith that you see in the Word, the faith that saves us, the faith that we're talking about every day. There are steps in that faith. Do you know the steps to the faith of God and the steps that Jesus took, the steps that everybody that believed God ever took, the steps up here that, Mary took. What are the steps of the faith of Abraham? And so he says, who also, the Bible says, walks in the steps. What are they? In the steps of that faith, that real faith, that genuine faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised. Now the Bible talks about, saying in verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom also he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. Now the first step that you have to make is you got to find in the Bible where it is written. Can I have an amen? Amen. I mean, the first thing you got to find out, if we're talking about making the right steps, is you got to find in there where it's written. I mean, it's not written that you can have anybody else's husband. Amen. That's just not written. You got to find in the Word of God whether or not it's really for you in the Word, and that's the first step. Let's say you were looking for the peace of God, and you found in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 2 where it said, obey in length of days and long life and peace. And peace, the Bible says, shall I give unto thee. So you're beginning to find you a foundation to be able to believe God. And what I'm talking about is the steps of the faith of Abraham. There are steps. walk in the steps of that faith, there are steps that we have to take. And step number one is you've got to find in the Word of God where it's written that it's even for you. Amen. That it's even God's will for you to be healed or to be well or to be prosperous or to be anointed or have the joy of the Lord. I mean, you got to find in the Bible where it says, it is written, it is written, it is written, that it's God's will for you, and that is step number one in the steps of the faith of Abraham. Amen? And everybody's going to take that step. They're all the same. I was going to get a bunch of those little old insoles that you put them down through the aisle, but we didn't get them on the way up here. And just have about eight of them. One here, and 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 one here. You know, and just to represent the steps. And these are definite steps that everybody has to go through. I mean, listen, when you're believing God, you're going to step in the same step Abraham stepped in. Abraham, he's stepping in the same step that Jesus stepped in. There are steps, and we all got to step in the same steps of faith that lead us to God. Now, some of us, we decide we're going to walk over here, we're going to go this way. No, you're going to go in the same steps that Jesus went in, same steps that all the saints went in, if we're going to get to where He is. Amen. We're talking about the steps of Abraham. My mouth's kind of dry this morning. It says, but who also walks, the Bible says, in the steps of the faith. What are those steps? In the steps of the faith, the Bible says, of his father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised. Now, let's say you're still looking for the peace of God. And you're trying to find the peace of God. And what's the first thing you're going to do? Well, you're going to find in there where it's written, if it's even God's will for you to have peace. So you found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 2, you're going to obey, and God said he'll give you length of days, long life, and peace will he give unto you. Now, John 14 and 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Now you got two. Now you got two scriptures. Still, let everything be established by two or three scriptures. Now in Acts chapter 10, verse 36, it says, the word God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace, the Bible says, by the Lord Jesus Christ. So now you've got three scriptures. You've got three places in that Bible, three places where it says, it is written that it's God's will for you to have faith. That is the very first step in the steps of the faith of Abraham. And what we're looking at when we're talking about Abraham was the father, the pater. The pater means the pattern. He's the one that God uses as a pattern for everybody on how to believe God. I mean, you go back to him, God will tell you, if you want to know how to believe God, you study Abraham. He was the father of your faith, the papa or the pater or the pattern. He's the one that laid it out there. And if you walk in the steps of Abraham, bless God, you're going to get where you're going and God's going to bless you. But believe me, there's a set way. There's set steps. There's an order to it. There's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to it. And everybody, including Jesus, came that very same way. Do you know what the steps to the faith of Abraham are that got him Isaac, got him that baby, got him that inheritance, got him, bless God, when he's 100 years old, when he's 100 years old, and I'm 100 years old, you don't look all that good. I mean, at 50, you don't look as good as you did. At 25, I've done decided to let my hair go gray. I don't care anymore. But everybody that comes, I mean, if you come by them steps, then you're going to get there. We try to walk over this way. We try to make our own way. We try to have our own steps, or we get the steps mixed up. We're going to do step number three instead of step number one. No, you don't need to try to do anything. Did you find out in that Bible that it is written that it is God's will for you to have it, number one? Amen. That's the first step in the steps of Abraham. Is it really God's will? Is it really God's will for you to have peace? Well, the Bible says in three places that it is. In three places that it is. And then in step number two, and I want to read this one to you over here where it says in verse 18, this is step number two. Step number one is find where it is written in the Word of God that it's even God's will for you. Once you know it's God's will for you, you've got step number one taken care of. And you can't go to step number two before you find that out. You got to go to step number one and take that step, and then you go to step number two. But then he says in verse 18, and this is step number two, who against hope, the Bible says, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now there's two hopes, that means there's two visions and two dreams. Hope means a vision or a dream, that's what it means. Hope means a vision or a dream. Well, there was two visions and two dreams. There was one vision of an old man. Now I'm going to tell you, this is Mother Nature. I'm going to tell you, if you put this thing under a microscope, this is not illusion. This is empirical data. This really exists. You got this old man. One hope is an old man and an old woman. That's one vision. See, hope actually means a vision. So there was two visions here. There was two ways to go. There was a curtain number one and a curtain number two. There was a natural way to go and a supernatural way to go. Now, he'd already found out it was God's will for him to be the father of many nations, but now all of a sudden, he's looking at this door that represents an old man and an old woman, and that's the vision, and if he keeps going in the natural order of things, they're not going to have the baby. But then, bless God, he has to look over at curtain number two and see the vision of God and the hope of God that says, yes, you can have it. Yes, it's God's will. God said, I don't care if you're 150 years old. Or how old anybody is, he said, there is a hope over here. He said, Don, there's a hope over here. I know what Mother Nature said. Mother Nature says you can't have the child. Father Time and Mother Nature says you cannot have the child. It's impossible. But there's another vision over here that says, I will make you the father of many nations. Amen. I'll make you the father. There's another door over here. And the word hope means to hold open. So there was a held open door by the flesh that really just led to not even having a baby. And then there was a held open door over here that said, if you'll go through this door, if you'll believe God, I'll make you the father of many nations. Now listen, there's always going to be those two doors. There always will be. The Bible said the steps of Abraham, number one, to find out if it was God's will. He knew it was God's will for him to have that baby. Now the Bible said you got to hope against hope. That means there's a hope out there that says you're too old, you're not going to be able to make it. You've had too many things happen in your life. You kind of got a curse on your life, or you got this going on and this going on and this going on. You'll always have that, and then it'll always be there. It'll always be there, y'all. The doubt, what everybody else says, everything that the devil's trying to say, the moment that you find out that it's written in the Word of God, it's for you, then immediately the Bible says the thief comes to steal the Word out of your heart, to take what is written back out of your heart, so you gotta stand there, and when the devil comes with this vision of what it's gonna be like without the Word, you've got to be ready to come against that and stand with a vision of God. And stand with what God said. You got to make up your mind after you found out it is written, step number two. You got to make up your mind. If you're going to, the way Abraham, if you're going to live by what you see, or are you going to live by what God said? That'll be step number two. Are you going to live by what God said? Or are you going to live by what? I mean, is Abraham going to get up in the morning at 100 years old and go to that mirror and fix his mind? You know what a 100-year-old man looks like early in the morning? It's pitiful. I mean, do you think he ran to the mirror every morning to analyze, to look, you know, to look at himself? The Bible said he considered not his own body now dead. No deadness of Sarah's womb. But the Bible said he considered the promise of God. So he didn't go to the mirror every day and study how old he was and how impotent he was and how far behind and how impossible it was. The Bible said that he didn't consider that or set his mind on that or aim, you know, and think about that all the time. But he kept thinking about the supernatural promise of God, and the word hope means to hold open, this held open door that God had for him, that if he would walk through this thing, he could have a baby at 100 years old. Can I have an amen? And I mean, I know it's out of the ordinary, and I know what the Bible preaches is out of the ordinary, but walking on the water is out of the ordinary. The Immaculate Conception, Mary having the baby is out of the ordinary. David's slaying the bear, slaying the lion, that's all out of the ordinary. All these things are out of the ordinary. But here's the thing. You're either going to go, I promise you're going to go, and most people do. You're going to go the ordinary way. Well, I'm too old and she's too old, so we're just going to go on the ordinary order, and we're going to die. Or there's a supernatural door over here that God's put over here that said there's an out of ordinary order. There's a supernatural order. There's an order that's not of the earth, it's of God. And that thing is an open door. And if I walk through that thing, I can have this baby even though I'm 100 years old. Now the order is that I won't be able to. I'm too old. Amen. And she's too old, and we're not going to be able to, and that's one vision. Just go ahead and die old, grow old with each other and die, and let Eleazar, your servant, be the ruler over everything. But God said, no, there's a supernatural door over here. You've got to be against this one, and you've got to be for this one. Amen? Amen. That's hoping against hope. Number one, you've got to find in the Word of God where it is written it's even for you. He knew it was because God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Then he had to deal with looking at that old body, listening to what everybody said, deal with the devil. How many of you know, it can take weeks sometimes and it can take months sometimes for these things to come to pass. And the devil will be working on you all the time. Amen? Oh, meet me a little more water up here. We got in late last night, y'all. When we were coming in. So the second one is you're going to hope against hope. Amen. You're going to hope against hope. Number one, you're going to find where it's written. Number two, you're going to hope against hope. The third one, and this is where you get attacked a lot on this one. The third one is you got to claim it. And people say, I don't know if they say it about you, but they'll say it about us sometimes. Oh, you're that name and claim it bunch. And I say, yeah. I said, That's us. That's us. I said, nobody ever got saved that didn't claim Jesus. I said, why are you against it? You know, the word say means to claim. If you say it, the word say is translated claim in the Bible. And so the Bible says if you don't claim the Lord, grab a hold of him. I'm talking about embrace him. Get the hold of the bottom of his garment. And I mean, brother, claim. Claim means to aim and to clamp down on him. In Alabama, we used to go frog gigging. We would gig frogs. Anybody ever gigged a frog? And so I was just a little boy, but they had a boat, you know, and it's dark. It's nighttime. And you don't want snakes to jump in the boat because they'll get in the boat. You know, you don't want to gig any snakes. So we're going along the bank and the guy's got a light, you know. And there is a kind of a frog gig apparatus. You got the ones with just the forks on them. But then you got some that have clamps on them. They got a little trigger right in here. And you get that frog, the frog's looking at the light, you know, he's paralyzed. And you hit him, and when he hits that middle trigger, it just clamps shut on him. So you aim, you know, you aim and you pop him, and it clamps shut on him. And the word claim means to aim and to clamp. To aim and to clamp is what the word aim means. And nobody ever got saved that didn't aim at Jesus. They clamped down on him, embrace him, get at his feet. I mean, grab your arms around him, claim him like a piece of gold. Amen. Nobody ever got saved that didn't claim Jesus like a piece of gold. And I know sometimes people come against it. I don't really know why. They do come against it. Why anybody would come against claiming Jesus. You know, somebody was mowing our yard the other day because I really can't afford one of these $1,500 lawnmowers. But I got a guy in the church that'll mow it for, you know, a whole lot less than that. But he's mowing, and here he goes. He's a real nice guy, and he's real shy. And this blew his mind when this happened. But he threw a rock. He threw a rock out from under one of his little mowers, you know. They ride those mowers. You try to make them get off, you know, and do a little weed eating from time to time. Amen. The problem is they like to just ride them off of the trailer. I'm fussing now, y'all. Ride them off of the trailer and then ride them back on the trailer, you know. Well, he threw a rock. It threw a rock and hit Cherry's navigator, that big back glass mirror, and just shattered it. Amen. Well, here's my point. We had to make an insurance claim. Now if something happens and you've got insurance and you don't claim it, they don't react. It's not like that. It doesn't work that way. Sandy Wheeler's, she's not going to automatically know, oh, I just got it. Oh, it just came to me that your navigator was struck. Now, when you get it, you got to go make a claim. You got to make a claim, and then they're going to pay you. But you first have to make that claim. Can I have an amen? Amen. If you have insurance and you want to get anything out of that insurance, you have to praise God, make the claim, and you have to gig for some promises. You got to get out there and gig for some promises. You got to find some promises. Find 1, 2, 3 promises. I mean, aim at them and clamp down on them and stay with it. Praise God and hang on to it, because now that you're grabbing a hold of it, the devil's going to bring up this other vision, this other hope. Every reason why you can't have it, every reason why it's not going to happen for you, every reason, I mean, blame, he'll bring you physical evidence. He'll say, don't you see this body? Have you lost your mind? Can't you see how old you look? He said, dear God, he said, I mean, the devil said, there ain't no way that this is going to come to pass, old buddy, because just look at you. And then if that's not discouraging enough, go get her and let's look at her. He said, you're 100. You look 105. She's 95. She looks 100. He said, y'all just get in the mirror and just meditate on that a while. Because that's circumstances counter to what God said. God said that, God said you're going to have a son. But the devil starts bringing all this real evidence. It's real stuff. It's real evidence. And then people come and proof, you know, and he can give you all kind of proof. And the fact of the matter is, it is going to go that way. It will go that way unless you come against that vision and that hope. Amen. And you side in with this other one over here. It says, I'll make you the father of many nations, or I'll let you be healed. I'll heal you. I'll bless you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Amen. That's when the devil comes in and really works on us, when we're trying to claim that thing. As I was thinking about this, I thought about everything, so many things that's unclaimed. Just unclaimed. I don't know about y'all, if y'all's church is like this, but We have people at our church that just leave things at the church and never come back and get them. Blows me away. I don't know. I will get up behind the pulpit and I'll say, you know, here's a Rolex watch. Anybody want it? Nobody will even claim it. You know? It's a wonder a thief doesn't claim it. And you know what? I'm ready to go ahead and give it to him. You know why? Because the dumb it belongs to, he don't want to claim it. So, you see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I'm saying, the guy that owns it won't claim it. I mean, we got pots and pans that people leave pots and pans at our church. They leave clothes at our church. We got enough pots and pans to do a chef's tail, you know, service or something like that. We got all kind of clothes. People won't claim things. And the Lord spoke to me, or I got the intimation that you know, when the Bible says that Jesus died for me and for Mo, Brother Mo, and for Fred, but not for just us only, but for the sins of the whole world, that means there's a garment of salvation, listen, for everybody. When I was a little boy, we went in the first grade, and we'd go about there and hang up our coats. We had a coat room in the back. And the first thing you do is go back there and hang up your coat. Northern Alabama gets cold. And the Lord just said, you know, He said, I've got garments of salvation. Listen, y'all. Nobody will come claim it. It's amazing. He said, it's for somebody in particular. Garments of salvation, robes of righteousness, garments of praise, all hung back there in the closet of God, and yet nobody, every lost man, every sinner, every guy that don't know God, every woman that doesn't know God, there's a garment of salvation that Jesus died for them to have. I'm going to tell you, it's hanging up there right now. It don't fit nobody else. It's not for nobody else. But they have yet to come to God and lay claim to that thing and say, that is mine. I claim you, Lord. I claim that. I receive that. And it's a sad, sad, sad. It's further than I'm able to really do. My mind only goes so far. I can only handle so much pain. I really can't even think about hell for very long. But according to that, that there'll be people in hell. Now listen to this. According to the Bible, there'll be people in hell with the garment of salvation hanging in God's closet. A robe of righteousness hanging in God's closet. You know, a garment of praise. Listen, y'all, unclaimed. If you've ever been to the airport and go in there to the luggage place where everything went to the unclaimed is, it'll blow your mind. There's hundreds and hundreds with jewelry in them. You know? I mean, I want them to just let me go in there and look. I'm just saying, I don't know why nobody wants it. Why could I go in there and just look through all these suitcases? There's probably $1 million in there. And yet nobody wants to claim it. You've got wheels, $1 million in wheels. You've got trust funds. You've got all kind of monies all over the place. And I mean heirs that won't claim it. Millions of dollars, thousands of dollars. Robes of righteousness. People, listen, most of the people in the Christian church, they won't even claim the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Won't claim them. Here they're hanging there and they belong to them. And it's God's will that they have them. But how many of you know they go unclaimed? Nobody ever steps up and says, yes, praise God, I claim the gifts of the Holy Ghost and the one that the Spirit of God wants to operate through me. I claim that gift and I'm going to believe in that. I'm going to aim and clamp down on those things. He said, pursue those gifts. He said, walk in love, but pursue the gifts of God. Get hot after the gifts of God and claim those things. I mean, a lot of people, they don't claim the gifts. They don't claim the fruits of the Spirit. Most of the world doesn't claim salvation, and yet it's all hanging there for them and left unclaimed. Left unclaimed by the people of God, many of them, and then unclaimed by the world. And I guess you could kind of understand that because they don't understand what's going on. Can I have an amen? And the next step is you got to call it. This kind of goes in with it. But claim it and then call it. I looked that word call it up and it means to incite with the word. To incite with the word. Call it, stir it up, get it going, catch it on fire. I mean, whatever thing it is that you're going after, you've got to make sure it's the Word of God. You've got to hope against hope. You're going to side in with what God says. You're going to claim it and lock down on it. You're not going to let go. And then you're going to begin to call it. You're going to begin to call that thing as though, call those things that be not, the Bible says, as though they were. Amen. You're going to start calling it. One of the best examples that I've ever seen is when we had these old-fashioned, I don't know if y'all do these old-fashioned, you don't, I don't think, thermostats where it had numbers on it. And so you set it, if it's 50 in a room, you set the thermostat on 70, if you want 70. Well, it's not 70, but you set it, you call for 70. Can I have an amen? You want 70, so you call for 70. Then outside the church, where nobody can see, the central heat begins to come on. And the system begins to work. And things begin to go. And you may not be able to tell it, but the moment, the very moment that you set that thing on 70, brother, that thing out there kicked in and it began to heat up air to blow in here, and it's going to keep blowing in here until it brings it in here up to 70 degrees, which is what you called for. Can I have an amen? So I can go over there and set the thermostat on 70, and some dum-dum can come over here and say, well, you know, I just put it on 70, and that, well, this is just about is on 70. And you put it on 70, and like it's 50, and somebody said, well, you're just lying about it. It's 50 in here. It's not 70. See, they don't understand. It's 50, Pastor. It's not 70. I know it's 50. That's why I'm calling for 70. That's why I'm setting it on 70 to bring the temperature up from 50 to 70. So that's when you start calling it. You start calling those things that be not as though they were. You're setting your thermostat on 70. You know it's not 70 yet, but it's going to get to be 70. Can I have an amen? Amen. It's going to get to be 70 if you keep on calling it. So number one, you got to find in the Word of God where it is written. Is it even God's will for you? Is it? I mean, a lot of people say healing's not God's will for you. The gifts are not God's will for you. It's really not God's will. You got to find out, is it really God's will for you? And then you got to claim it and embrace it and grab a hold of it and not let the devil have it back. Amen? Then you got to call it. Call those things that be not as though they were. You know, call it. If I'm looking for Samson, which is my dog, and if he's not with me, then I call him. I'm thirsty, y'all. Then I'm going to call him. If he was right there with me, I wouldn't call him. But since he's not there, I am going to call him. So when you're saying, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed, and you hadn't got a manifestation of your healing, what you're doing is you're calling your healing in. You're inciting your healing with the Word. Amen. You're stirring it up. You're excited. That's what it's, the word call means, to incite with the Word. So as I begin to call it in and I begin to confess the Word of God, I'm inciting that healing. I'm calling that healing in. I'm commanding it to come. I'm summoning that healing. I'm commanding it to come into manifestation to us. Can I have an amen? He says over here, here's part of it, who against hope believed in hope, or excuse me, in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations, the pattern, before whom he also believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calls those things that be not, the Bible says, as though they were. He'll find something that's dead and he'll talk to it. And when he talks to it, his word will quicken that thing and it'll come alive. Amen. And calls those things that be not, who against hope, the Bible says, believes in hope. Against all that's going on in the natural, he's going to believe in the promise of God that he might become, the Bible says, the father of many nations. But he calls those things that be not as though they were. Can I have an amen? And then he says, from verse 19 on down, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. It means he didn't fix his eyes on his body and the shape his body was in. He considered not his own body now dead, but when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. How did he not do that? Because we do stagger. We do that so much. We'll waver or we'll stagger. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, the Bible says, giving glory unto God. So every night, and instead of going and standing in front of the mirror, and instead of us meditating and putting our eyes and our mind on everything that justifies why the promise isn't going to work, whether it's your healing or whatever it might be, we go out in the evenings or in your prayer time, and you stand there and you say, Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to praise you and I thank you that you have already past tense made me the father of many nations. I do not look to or fix my eyes on or consider, Lord God, all this other evidence. But, Lord, I fix my heart and my mind on the Word of God. If you said it, you can do it. I have decided not to go by what I see, but to go by what you said. And I just want to give you glory and praise and honor, Lord, that I will become, that I am becoming. He says, past tense, that I am becoming and will experience this promise, and I will be the father of many nations. And you do that over and over and over and over again, and that's what stops you from staggering. I mean, when you start to stagger, you just need more Word. When you start to waver, you just need a little more word. So when you begin to stagger, you just go outside and begin to praise God. Lord, I praise you and I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. Now you begin to waver a little bit. You say, Lord, I thank and I praise you that the Bible said in Matthew that Jesus bore my sicknesses. You begin to waver and stagger a little bit and the devil says you're not going to be able to make it, and the storm begins to come, kind of like with Peter. And you go out and you say, Lord, I thank you for Psalms 103. Well, you said you forgive my sins and heal my diseases, and I praise you and I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And if you'll do that, that will build it, that will build your faith. It says right here that he staggered not to the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith as he gave glory to God. So giving glory to God will make you strong in faith. It'll cause you to not stagger. It'll cause you not waver. Then it says, and being fully persuaded. That what he was able to, what he had promised, he was able also, the Bible says, to perform. And therefore it is imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for him alone that it was imputed, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. It means that this all relates to us, meaning that we can do this too. Meaning the same thing that Jesus talked to him about the fig tree. And he said, anybody can do that. He said, believe, use the faith of God. And he said, saying that fig tree, he said, anybody can do that. And they talked to him about the storm. He said, anybody could, he said, why didn't y'all do it? You could have stilled the storm. They talked about the mountain. He said, you could have done the mountain. Three or four or five times he said, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. And this whole pattern of Abraham and walking in these steps that we were talking about, find out if it's written in there. Amen. Find out if it's even for you. Begin to claim it. Begin to call it. And then as you're calling it, all this time the devil's going to be assailing you, man. I mean, they're going to be attacking you. But instead of reacting in unbelief, instead of always getting fixated and putting my eyes on my body and why the promise can't come, I'm going to be out there giving glory to God that what God said he is able to perform. And I thank you, Lord, I know I'm 100 years old and I don't look like much. And I know my wife is not as pretty as she used to be. But I just want to praise you and I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to be the father of many nations. That it's past, in God's eyes, it's past. He said, Lord, like the Lord made it, and now Abraham's going to walk into it. His future will be, he's going to be the father of many nations. Amen. As the Bible says, as it was written unto him. So here's the steps. Number one, you got to find out where it's written. You got to find it out. Number two, you got to be able to hope against hope. You got to make up your mind. Make up your mind that you're going to live not on the basis of what you saw, but on the basis of what God says. Not on the basis of what you see, but on the basis of what God says. Number three, you got to claim the thing. You got to claim it because the devil will try to take it away from you. He'll try to get it. Don't let your healing, your gift, whatever it is, hang in the closet of God unclaimed because you never claimed it. Number four, call the thing. Begin to stir it up inside it with the Word. Begin to speak what the Word of God says to your situation. Urge it, incite it. That word also means inspire it. Make it come to life. Summons the thing. I mean, if you've got healings, stand up there in the name of Jesus and summons your healing. Incite it with the Word. Summons that healing to come to me. You belong to me. I command you to come to me. It's God's will that I have you. Come to me right now. I summons. You know, in a court summons, if they give you a summons in court, boy, you go. If you don't go, the police come in. They help you go. Or they say, are you having trouble going? Well, you come on. You know, it was like it used to be in the Army. I mean, you couldn't. Nowadays, they'd just kick you out of the Army for anything. You know, when I was in the Army in 71, there was one thing you knew you couldn't do, and that was leave. Once they got you and shaved all your hair off your head, they took your bell-bottom pants away from you, amen. You know, I had summer blonde on my hair. They cut all my... Can you imagine me as a summer blonde with bell-bottom pants? My bell-bottom pants were so big you couldn't see my shoes. That's true. That was cool. Once they get you in there, I mean, I mean, and the only way, now, you know, they'll kick you out for just anything. You got to do this, you got to do that. Well, and when I was in there, if you kind of got in trouble with the law a little bit, they give you a choice. They'd say, son, so you say, yes, sir. Because you can behave when you have to. Say, yes, sir. Do you want to go to jail? Or do you want to go to the army? You'd say, Lord, I mean, you'd say, Judge, I believe I'll just go serve my country. I believe I'll just go to the army. And it was full of people like that. And they were drafting people back then. And they'd just call you and say, time for you to go. And you'd go get there, and they'd get there, and they'd tell you what to do. And if you didn't like it, they didn't let you go. They took you to the stockade. They said, well, you're going to be here for 2 years. You can either be here in jail, or you can either be here. You can be here walking around, which is bad enough. Amen. So what are the steps? Can anybody remember them? Number one, you got to find where it's written it's God's will for you. Number two, there's always going to be a way to go that's not of God. That's one hope. That's the devil's hope for you. Then there's another hope over here, which is the promise of God. You're going to have to go to the promise of God. You're going to have to resist that thing and fight that thing. Man, that thing's going to work on you. Not side in with it, side in with the promise of God. And then you're going to stand there and claim that. Aim at it and claim it. Gig that thing and keep it and hold it close and embrace it. And then you need to start calling those things that be not as though they were. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed over and over. And you begin to call it. You call it because you don't have it. The same reason I call Samson. If he's not here, I call him to get here. If I don't have my healing, I call my healing to come. Amen. And then, instead of worrying about the devil and getting into all that doubt and unbelief and staggering and wavering, I just praise and thank God that what he said, he's able to perform. Now those are the steps of the faith of Abraham. And you will take those steps if you receive. Everybody takes the same steps. If you do receive, you will take those steps in that order, or you'll never receive the promise God had for you. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, Father, for being so good to us. Now, dear God, we just lift up your word, and we thank you that the word's good, that it's always good. And so, Father, we open up our hearts to it, and to all the, and Lord, to the truths, to the principles that we do have to find out in your word. Is it in the Bible? We do have to claim it, we do have to call it, we do have to praise you for it. Lord, we don't want to be like the guy that was healed, or that bunch that was healed, and only one came back and gave glory to God. Only one. But Lord, we'll give you glory every day for all the promises of God. And we're going to give you all the praise and give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name.